This is the Student Hour, student radio for the city of Portland. The Student Hour is powered by AM 1450 KBPS, the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Brought to you by Portland Radio Project 99.1 FM, your nonprofit community radio station, online at prp.fm. And brought to you by KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM and KBOO.fm. Also brought to you by X-Ray KXRY 107.1 FM and 91.1 FM, online at xray.fm. This is the Student Hour.
Portions of this program have been pre-recorded and recycled from previous Student Hour episodes. From everyone here at AM 1450 KBPS, Benson High School, and Portland Public Schools, we wish you and your family a very happy holiday season and all the best in the coming new year.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the Student Hour. Community. That's really what Christmas and the holidays are about. Gathering and having fun together. And this holiday season, I want to talk to you about community. Specifically about the community that's right here in my hometown of Radio Class. Here in radio, there's a strong sense of agency. We get a lot of freedom from Jacob, our teacher, to work on whatever we're passionate about, to go out and just explore. He's always hardworking and kind and really is the model that we try to emulate. Well, some of us, anyway. I have heard it said many times that the world's burning, that there's too much rot and not enough hope. Well, when did moaning and complaining about something become the norm? Sisyphus didn't roll that boulder up that hill by saying, "Oh, this boulder is so much heavier than me," or, "Oh, this boulder is so much bigger than me." Do you really think that he could just give up? No. He shut up and he did it. And the idea that you can get anywhere in life by saying that's too hard is just plain silly. Never lose hope, dear listener, for the only difference between the possible and the impossible is the label itself. We, the students, the teenagers, are Jacob's rock. He tries every day to do the impossible. He tries to put good values into young people. He sacrifices his time, money, and patience into pushing up this damn hill that is life. And everyone but him are the ones saying, "That's too hard." And to everyone who lost hope, hope in the idea of change, hope in the next generation, I laugh at you. I laugh at you because I have seen with my own two eyes acts of kindness and compassion be rooted and grown. In my classroom, there sits a coffee pot. Jacob buys coffee beans and filters. This pot was not here when he arrived, friend. He brought it with him, along with his grinder. He buys sugar and powdered creamer for our coffee. These are used, with some thanks, to be fair, but not the amount of thanks he deserves. But this episode is not about Jacob, as much as he deserves one. This episode is about what Jacob has done. Months ago, now, a student decided to give back. Sydney decided to buy creamer. Liquid creamer. And yes, I know, the cynical will say, how's one bowl of creamer going to save the world? And maybe it's not. But if one act of kindness can become two acts of kindness, if one person giving charity to uplift the community can turn into two people helping the community, then the world just becomes that much better of a place. Maybe this isn't that much, but if it's not that much, then it's not that much to ask. So please, help us make the world a better place. Because no one got anywhere complaining, and even one creamer makes a hell of a difference in a cup of coffee. Thank you for listening to the Student Hour.
This is Vinny Castaldo and Mr. Music, and we're going to talk about the Community Care Club program we have here at Benson. Can you just give me a little overview of what that is?
So the Community Care Club is just a club that tries to address some of the issues that we have here on campus. Like specifically, it kind of started as a hope to get students together to kind of contribute to keeping the campus clean and just a nicer place for Benson students to be. But then it kind of bridged into, of course, it's a student-run club, so you know, whatever the students want to do, we try to do it. And one of the things that came up was trying to reach outside of Benson Tech and do something for the greater community. And that's what spawned the idea of doing the winter donation drive.
And can you talk a little on what the winter donation drive is?
Yeah, winter donation drive is just an attempt to collect canned goods, some clothing items, so specifically new, unused socks, hats, and gloves. And then also new unwrapped toys. And these are going to go to different community resources throughout the Portland area. So the food and the clothing is going to go to the Portland Rescue Mission, and hopefully end up benefiting some of our homeless population around Portland. And then the toys are going to go to a group called the Joy and Toy Makers, which is a local group of firefighters who collect toys for basically kids in need over the winter holidays.
And is it just Benson students that can make donations to our Community Care Club's winter donation program, or could anyone do
that? I mean, really anyone could. We haven't advertised outside of Benson, but we have you know, put some word out to parents and stuff. So we've had some actual a significant amount of buy-in from Benson staff and then some parents who have sent goods with their students.
That's exciting. Yep. It's good to hear the program's doing well.
Yeah, it's going pretty good.
Do you know what inspired the students to reach out past Benson in this way with the Community Care Club?
Well, you know, I think that the students who chose to be involved with Community Care Club really have this idea of really wanting to affect change in their world, you know. So sometimes being just within the walls of a school can seem somewhat insular, and I think they were really thinking big picture and trying to kind of you know, think outside of just like what can we do for Benson. And I really appreciate that they did that, so it shows that they care.
Oh, that's, yeah, that's a, it's a really lovely thing. It's awesome to hear about other students doing such a great job of taking care of the community. Are there any kind of final comments you'd want to make?
If anyone hears this, feel free to bring things in. There is a donation bin right by the front entrance. So it's one of our octagonal recycling bins that you see in the classroom, but it's wrapped in blue paper and there's a big sign on it. It's pretty hard to miss.
All right. Octagonal bin by the big entrance.
Yep.
Sounds good. Oh, it was lovely interviewing you, Mr. Music.
Great speaking with you. Thanks for coming by.
Happy Thanksgiving to all the people who celebrate it. From KBPS, we're Matthew
and Cecilia, and we went to interview others on what they are thankful for this Thanksgiving and what their dinner is going to be and see if they're going to gobble till they wobble. It's turkey season after all.
Here are their responses.
Regardless of the condition I'm at, on the 22nd, I go to Hawaii on good terms.
I'm going to my grandma and grandpa's house.
Take some senior pictures, you know, dress some nice.
I'm just going to be hanging around the house, hanging with family. Luckily, all my family lives here, so have a good Thanksgiving.
Probably just sit at home, you know, eat some food and watch football.
I'm gonna go to Granny's house and eat some food.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna eat some mac and cheese and some greens. Yummy food.
I'm gonna eat good, go to a couple parties, you know, teen stuff.
Yeah, I'm gonna eat good. That's really it. Just chill, watch the TV.
Just working. Hanging out with
my family. Hi there, I'm Chelsea Fillinger here with KPS Radio Station. Thanksgiving's coming up, and I interviewed four people about their opinions on the event. Next up will be the interviews on how they feel about Thanksgiving. Hi there, I'm Chelsea Freelander here with KVPS Radio, and I am here with...
Joe Anderson, student body president.
All right, Joe, I got a question for you. What's your opinion on Thanksgiving?
Well, Thanksgiving, I'd say that it's definitely one of my favorite times of the year. I just love being with my family and eating such amazing food with them all. And for me, it's all about the family, the social connection, and of course, that amazing food.
That is a very powerful point there. I have to agree. Thanksgiving is an amazing holiday for being thankful and enjoying those around you.
All right. The food.
Yeah, the food is amazing.
Yeah.
Are you excited for it?
I'd say I'm looking forward to it. You know, I have some family coming from out of town, and it's going to be nice to see them. Also, right now, my stomach is empty, so I will be very looking forward to that food. But it's the family. I'm excited to hear them, see them come, and it's going to be something I'm looking forward to.
It's all about family. All right. Well, thank you very much, and have a wonderful day.
Thanks for having me.
Hello there. I'm Chelsea Freelander with KVPS Radio, here with
Omari Robinson.
And I'm here to ask you what your opinion is on Thanksgiving.
I feel like Thanksgiving is a great holiday to be around family, and but I love all holidays, so yeah.
Yep, for some pretty solid answers. All right, anything else you like to add?
Not really. It's really festive, you know what I'm saying? But yeah.
Yeah. All right, thank you. Hi there, I'm Chelsea Freelander here with
Colby.
And I'm here to ask you, what are your thoughts about Thanksgiving? Like, it's coming up soon, so might as well get the thoughts in.
I mean, it's a total fraud. I mean, it was literally built on lies. I don't remember the exact story, but the guy literally just rewrote a whole journal to be like, hey, you know, we love Native Americans. We did nothing wrong to them at all. We were chill, friends since day one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a straight-up lie.
Yeah. And do you really think it should be still, like, celebrated, or should we just use it as, like, a day of mourning and remembrance?
I mean, I think, to an extent, celebration would be good only as a way, but change the celebration as a whole, not focused on the, oh, yeah, the pilgrims came in, we had a feast, more of a, you know, spending time with family and enjoying your family and just kind of, and yeah, and it depending on what you're from, even if you want to do, you don't. I think it should also be a day of remembrance to actually take time to acknowledge the wrongs that America has done throughout history and even to this day.
So what I'm understanding is that you want it as a day of thankfulness and reflection.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty solid point. I like that idea.
I mean, sitting here and being like, yeah, hey, we're eating turkey because Christopher Columbus did, like, nah, that's just a complete lie. Like, I get if you have Thanksgiving to just spend time with family and eat and have a good time, but if you're doing it to celebrate, you know, the pilgrims having Thanksgiving, you're celebrating the wrong holiday.
Yeah. That's a very powerful message, man. Thank you. Thank you all for listening. I am Joseph Freelander here, signing off from KVPS Radio.
Hi, my name is Matthew, and I'm here interviewing my KVPS teacher.
Hi, my name is Jacob Patterson.
Jacob, what are you planning on having for Thanksgiving dinner?
Oh, I gotta have the whole spread, right? Every year we cook up a big turkey. We usually do turkey. We don't do ham or roast beef or anything like that, but we'll do a turkey, make a big thing of mashed potatoes and homemade gravy, the giblet gravy made right from the turkey drippings, that kind of stuff. You know, the green beans, the corn, the buttered rolls, the... You know, some sort of dessert. We'll come up with like a pie or something. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we'll do a little stuffing. But it's all about that turkey and that gravy. That's where I'm at.
And what would you say you're most thankful about?
You know, that's a great question. I'm thankful for a lot of things. I would say right now I'm most thankful for my new job that I've had for the last year and a handful of months. I love the opportunity that I get to encourage and motivate students, and I'm really thankful for this opportunity that I've been handed, and I look forward to getting up every day and kicking butt and taking names.
Hello, my name is Cecilia, and I'm here with...
Hi, I'm Vinny.
Vinny, so what are you thankful for?
What am I thankful for? You know, this Thanksgiving, I'm just thankful for being alive. I feel like that's enough.
What are you going to be doing on the day of Thanksgiving?
On the day of Thanksgiving, I am going to visit a friend, and I'm going to have Thanksgiving with them.
Hi, my name is Matthew, and I'm here interviewing
Ashton.
What are you thankful for this Thanksgiving?
I'm thankful for my friends and my family and my significant other. And I'm especially thankful for the person interviewing me.
Aw. And what do you plan on having for Thanksgiving dinner?
My family has the same thing, a ham and like mashed potatoes.
My name is Matthew and I'm here with
Gideon Lane.
Gideon, what are you going to have for Thanksgiving dinner?
So I've interviewed, in fact, I interrogated my little brother. What do you want? And he said, I want rolls. So I'm like, okay, that sounds fire. Of course, turkey. I got to have the turkey. Mm-hmm. Mashed potatoes, possibly sweet potatoes. My cousin, who's like four, he just wants sweets like pies, cookies. We got that. We ready.
And what are you thankful for?
Oh, this field trip I just went on? It was all right. But what we did after, before we got on the bus, hey, Mr. Freddy, can we run a mission to Killer Burger? Yeah, we got you. 20 dudes juicing it down to Killer Burger all the way in Wilsonville. I'm thankful for that. And, you know, family, friends, education, Call of Duty. I got gold on like 7 guns. Yeah, that's it.
Hello, my name is Cecilia, and I'm here with...
Isaac.
What are you thankful for this year?
I'm thankful for this nice piece of wood I got for free. It was pretty lit.
What are you going to be doing on Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving? Upon eating some good food and making some good stuff with this piece of wood I got.
Nice. Thank you.
With all that being said, I like to say that I'm thankful for my family. Without them, I wouldn't be here where I am today, and I wouldn't even be here talking on this microphone without their help and emotional support.
I'm thankful for my family and friends. My family will always be there for me, even if everything else is against me. I don't think I would enjoy my life to this extent without the people I surrounded myself with.
We hope you all have a wonderful Thanksgiving week coming from KBPS on Portland Radio Project.
This is Rosa of KBPS Portland Student Staff. From everyone here at Benson High School, happy holidays and the best in the upcoming new year.
AM 1450 KBPS presents live PIL basketball. Now with all the action, let's go courtside with the KBPS sportscasting crew.
Good evening from Southeast Portland. I am Sean Phillips alongside Jacob Patterson for AM 1450 KBPS and live streaming on our updated website, www.kbps.am. Tonight's game features 6A boys basketball as the Franklin Lightning host the Lakeridge Pacers, coming out of the Three Rivers League with a 3-2 overall record. The Lightning of Franklin High School coming in 1-4 this year. Jacob, what can we expect from both of these two schools tonight?
Hey, Sean, happy Friday. You know, it's Friday heading into winter break, so a lot of people in the Portland Public School community feeling really good today, really excited. You know, we're here at Franklin. It's our first game at Franklin this season. Pretty excited to be here. And just sitting here a couple minutes ago during the JV game, we already seen some dunks being thrown down, so I'm anticipating some high-flying action tonight. Sounds like the Franklin boys varsity team coming in with a 1-4 record really needs to get some action going. You know, so far not a whole lot going Franklin's way yet this season, so we're going to see if they can turn it around on a Friday night here for the Lightning. But you know, Lakeridge coming in, the Pacers, you know, these guys, they're looking pretty big, and I'm seeing a pretty significant size advantage on the floor in favor of Lakeridge already. How big of a deal is that going to be? We're about to find out.
Well, we'll find out in a matter of minutes. Let's get down with Lakeridge. They have a lot of guys out there, do the Pacers, with height. And if this is any indication on what I saw on what we saw, rather, when we last did a game together with Lincoln and their long height and their wingspan, if that comes into play tonight against Franklin, they will have no problems, the Pacers, getting those offensive, defensive rebounds and potentially blocking some shots.
Yeah, I think what we saw, you know, last Friday, Sean, is that Lincoln's opponent, Beaverton, didn't quite get prepared at the beginning of the game enough. But they eventually figured out, you know, hey, we can beat their size with some speed, with some fast breaks, some open threes, and they came back fairly strongly in the second half of that game through speed. And we were kind of talking about, well, if they played a little bit better in the first half, they might have been a closer game to begin with. But, you know, if Franklin could come out and beat them speed-wise and get some open shots and some fast breaks early, who knows? You never know.
They never know. Lincoln, smaller unit, but they do have speed to try to go around Lakeridge. Will it be enough for them to pull the win out tonight? Let's go down to the court for the starting lineups right now as it's going to be introduced right now. We'll start with Lakeridge first up. It is at guard a senior David Getty. At guard and senior Jace Swigard. In the post, a senior Tristan Davis. At guard and a junior Patrick Naparella. And in the other post, a junior Cole Holum. The Pacers are coached by David Zong, assisted by Patrick Gregg and Sammy Ibarra. For the Franklin Lightning starters, here are their five. At guard and junior, Gio Lavert-Tini. At guard and senior, we've got to hold off. We'll get to the starting lineups after the break on KBPS. Back in a moment. Slightly different opening, as it usually is within different high schools, on how they introduce starting lineups or hold off for the pregame festivities here. Sean Phillips and Jacob Patterson back with you. Let's reintroduce to you the Lakers starters in full, as well as Franklin again. At guard and senior for Lakeridge, David Getty. At guard and senior, Jay Swigard. At the post and senior, Tristan Davis. At guard and junior, Patrick Naparella. And in the post and junior, Cole Holum. The Pacers are coached by David Zong, assisted by Patrick Craig and Sammy Ibarra. All right. And now the starting lineups for the home Franklin Lightning. Coached by Mark Grassman in his first year. He was an assistant coach last year for Franklin. Gio Lavert-Tini, the guard and junior, getting introduced first for the Lightning. At guard and senior, Antonio Foster. At forward and senior, Owen Combs. At guard and junior, Dominic Papworth. And at wing and at forward, a junior, Kwaje Leila. The Lightning are coached by Mark Grassman, assisted by Thomas Frenthebois. Those are the starting five for both schools tonight. Jacob, I understand you had an interview with one of the health service people here tonight.
Yeah, you know, Sean, when we come out to these games, yeah. I always, you know, every once in a while, you know, a bad injury happens and a student gets hurt and the medical professionals are there waiting to help. And I've always wanted to interview them, just talk with them about what they do. And we had an opportunity to speak with one of those people before the game tonight and thought that, you know, students, Health Ox students at Benson might appreciate it, and radio students learning how to interview someone at a game might appreciate it.
Let's go to the interview right now.
We are here live at Franklin High School in the gymnasium getting ready for some Friday night basketball action. Lakeridge in-house to take on the Lightning. And we got a couple minutes before the game kicks off, and we're here with one of the medical professionals that is on standby that works at these games to help students out if anything ever goes wrong. And first of all, thank you so much for a minute of your time. Tell us your name and what is like your official title?
Okay, yeah, my name is Sherilyn. My official title, I'm a licensed and certified athletic trainer. I have my master's degree. And I work for Providence. So Providence, they contract us, and we're all at all the PIL schools, and we just come out here, and yeah, we take care of all the athletes.
That's awesome. Well, first of all, you know, kind of tell us, walk us through a night in your life, and what are the things that you do? What are the things that you watch for, and how do you help students?
Yeah. So for like tonight, when we have like games and stuff like this, so basically I come a little early just to see if kids need to get taped or if they need like any scrapes or bumps, anything wrapped up before the game, all that good stuff. Just pregame prep, and then I basically sit and watch the game, and I have my medical kit with me. I have my AED, my splints and all that stuff, just all my emergency equipment. And basically I'm watching the game, and if somebody gets hit in the head, I'm on that. If somebody goes down and is not responsive, I'm on that. So we do anything from, like, you know, if somebody has a bloody nose, I'll stop a bloody nose. Or if I need to call EMS and we need to get somebody to the hospital, I'm responsible for that too. So we got a few different things that we are responsible for game day, but making sure everybody is safe and is playing good and is comfortable, and if somebody's having any kind of injury issues or anything like that, we address that as well.
You know, those are the moments that when everyone comes to the game and we see a kid go down and get hurt, you know, it's just our hearts just stop, and everybody's like, you know, there, we catch our breath, and there's this like silent, still moment when we're all just hoping and wishing for nothing but the best. And you know, very few of us in that moment have the courage to be the one running out there to help. That is amazing that you have that ability to do that.
Right, and the thing is like, it, a lot of that stuff takes practice and repetition. So we are very highly educated healthcare professionals. I've done 4 years of undergrad, where I was a biology pre-medicine major, and then I went to grad school for 2.5 years, and that's where I got my master's degree. So it does take a lot of like mental capability, but we do have a lot of education, and we do have a lot of training, and we are really prepared in our education programs, and then through our like residencies and stuff like that. So we are very highly prepared, and you know, it's just always making sure you're running through like some situations in your head to make sure that you're ready for literally anything that could happen. So it takes a lot of education, a lot of dedication, and a lot of practice. And so, you know, it's a lot of work to get to this point.
And Geraldine, just for our health occupation students at Benson, you know, young high school students, freshmen, sophomore, juniors, and seniors that are just getting started, and they're thinking, maybe I want to become a doctor or a nurse, or maybe I like sports. What would you say to students that might encourage them to pursue something that you're doing?
Yeah, so I think one great in is like sports medicine really encompasses so many aspects of healthcare. I mean, we do a little bit of everything. We do a little bit of wound care, injury prevention. We do a lot of things like, you know, making sure athletes are in shape and fit enough to compete. And then, you know, we also take care of concussions. We do a lot of rehabilitation and return to play protocols for various things. So if students are interested in the medical field, like, you know, getting in contact with your athletic trainer at your school is a great way to start, because you're going to get exposed to a lot of that stuff. And, you know, I have a sports med crew that works with me. I'm always like going over anatomy. I'm always going over physiology. I'm always going over the little things, and I'm always speaking in med terms, because those are things that are going to expose them. So if they want to go into nursing school or med school or PT school or to be a PA or anything like that, they're already getting exposed to all those things, because that's what's cool about more sports medicine is it's a little bit of everything in healthcare. So, you know, if kids want to do that, that's a great way to start, you know, just getting to hang out, watch some sports, and also getting to learn a lot of cool new things.
Geraldine, thank you so much for a minute of your time. I know you're busy and the game's getting ready to start, so you're going to have to run, but it's great talking with you. And I think a lot of people, you know, really appreciate what you do and have a deep respect for what you do. And just you being here so that everybody stays safe probably means the world to a lot of people.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's like one of the biggest things is like a lot of people don't really know what we do. And I think that's important for people to be able to see that and know what we do and kind of get behind us in that aspect. You know, a lot of people know what nurses do and doctors do and stuff like that, and athletic training is one of those healthcare professions that we do need more people to know what we do. And you know, that's another thing that I'm always trying to do as well, is make sure everybody kind of understands like who we are and what we're about. But yeah, of course, I'm glad to spread the word.
Thank you so much.
Yep.
Great work, Jacob, with that interview. Yeah, and just demonstrating to our broadcasting students how when you go out to the game on a Friday night, yeah, enjoy the game and have a good time, but hey, you know, notice right in front of you all of the stories and the amazing humans that make this fun, exciting thing happen and all the stories that they can tell. And you never hesitate to ask them to tell their story. Sometimes you'd be surprised what you might find.
Not at all.
You're listening to the Student Hour, student voices from Portland for Portland, powered by AM 1450 KBPS. Please support our partners at PRP.FM, KBOO.FM, and X-Ray.FM.
Mackay D of the KBPS Portland student staff. From everyone here at Benson High School, happy holidays and the best of the coming new year.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings all hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all safe in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled down for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below, when what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer. With a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles his coursers they came, as he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer, now Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop, the coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard of his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of his pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke, it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a round little belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk. And laying a finger alongside his nose and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim as he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night."
This is Josiah Wester of the KBPS Portland student staff. From everyone here at Benson High School, happy holidays and all the best in the coming new year.
Greetings, listeners. If you don't know, my name is Antrell, and I'm from the AM 1450 KBPS. Today, I'm going to be talking about Miles Morales, the video game from Insomniac. If you don't know how the game goes, I'm going to tell you right here. So, the game starts off with Miles recapping everything that happens in his life. Where he lives, Harlem, New York City, how his relationship with his mom is going, how his relationship with Peter is going. But he has not come to terms with the fact that his father has passed. He misses him. I think we all would miss our fathers. Also, he got bit by a radioactive spider. He had gotten bitten by a radioactive spider when he was helping out with Feast, after Peter ended up needing to somewhat be hospitalized after his encounter with Octavius. I'll get into that another time. But anyways, he's been Spider-Man for a couple of months now, and this is taking place in the wintertime. They're about to ship off all the villains from last year's attack to the raft again, because they broke out of prison and caused havoc in New York City, so now they're bringing them all back. But in the process, things aren't going too well, and the big guy, also known as Rhino, he gets loose. Peter has to go chase him down, and Miles is stuck dealing with the escaped prisoners. He takes care of them, then goes to help Peter. In the process of trying to stop Rhino, Rhino just ends up wrecking everything in his path. Honestly, I don't really think he cares that much about Christmas. So Miles finally catches up to him. They end up smashing everything in the mall at this point. So Rhino goes on to tell Spider-Man for the last 6 Christmases he's been locked behind 30 feet of steel, and he intends to enjoy this one by just smashing everything. In the process, we see J. Jonah Jameson dressed up as Santa, and Spider-Man both interrupt his interview, well, his soon-to-be light interview, and more havoc is wrecked across New York City until they reach a power plant. Rhino causes an explosion, knocking Miles back into a pole, tries to reach the other Spider-Man. He's doing alright, but not for long. and more prisoners show up, so Miles has to take care of them. He deals with them, then Peter gets knocked out. Miles, seeing his friend possibly unconscious and harmed, the anger boiled up inside him, it fuels itself into bioelectricity, runs at Rhino, and punches him with it. Miles, somehow surprised by this new power, he's able to use it to his advantage and defeat Rhino. Then we come to the soon-to-be villain of the story, Simon Krieger. He takes care of Rhino instead of handing him over to the police and sending him to Feast, claiming that he will send Rhino to do prison work when down the line he's just fixing up Rhino. He's not exactly a good guy in this scenario, as we all thought he was. Then we come back to the Spider-Man on the rooftop. Peter tells Miles that he's going to be in Europe, not before leaving his friend with a Christmas gift and making him take the Spider-Man oath. So Peter leaves, Miles is left on his own as New York's proclaimed only Spider-Man. He unlocks Peter's gift, which is actually just a custom-made suit from Peter, completes a few challenges, heads over to the newly built Roxxon building, takes out a few bad guys that call themselves the Underground, and they work for somebody called the Tinkerer, leaves, heads back home, reunites with his long-lost friend, well, not exactly long-lost, but sort of a forgotten friend of his, Finn Mason, whose brother, Rick Mason, actually worked for Roxxon, but it was making people sick, so he had to stop this. But this resulted in Krieger killing him, which is why Finn took on the path of becoming the Tinkerer to get rid of Roxxon from hurting anybody else. Spider-Man, not knowing this, stops the Tinkerer from bringing in any new form into the city, but ends up destroying a bridge in the process. After that, makes a new suit. So after Miles Morales makes his iconic red and black suit, he goes out, deals with a few criminals, deals with a bunch of Roxxon employees as well, working for the Tinkerer, who is presumed to be Finn Mason, which is confirmed later down the line. Spider-Man hacks his way into a Roxxon facility training ground, where they discuss what's going to happen. Finn talks about how she will not stop at anything until Roxxon is gone. And apparently, because of the new form, some of the Roxxon guys are getting sick too. Also, Miles Morales is able to get a contaminator of new form, but Finn finds him and takes the can. So they go on a high-speed chase, which is, as usual, just causes destruction for New York City. Wow, they just cannot catch a break at this point. So Miles tries to tell Finn that he's Spider-Man because his friend Genki suggested it. Finn, obviously just not wanting to hear whatever he has to say, is just not listening and just creating more havoc in the city. Finally, Miles catches up to Finn, reveals himself. They almost get caught by the cops, but they escape. Afterwards, Miles goes to see his Uncle Aaron for advice. And Uncle Aaron tells him what he needs to do. Work-life balance, kid. Work-life balance. He gives him a task to do, something that he and his dad, Jefferson Davis, Miles' dad, never finished when they were younger. They were trying to make this city, New York, their music video, but they never got around to finding the audio for it. So he has Miles collect the audio for him. He collects one part of it, but that's not the end of it. Once Miles thanks Aaron and then leaves, Aaron tells someone, Trinity Church, tells him that the Tinkerer is all his, but Spider-Man has to be left alone. Apparently, Krieger didn't listen to this and just sent Rhino to get both of them. Krieger broke his deal between him and Prowler, Aaron Davis. Miles and Finn get out, of course, but not before Finn just completely loses it and just tries to kill Rhino. Miles stops her, but in the process of this, he gets beaten up pretty badly. And Finn just threatens to kill Miles if he goes near her again. Miles tries to convince her that they're family, but Finn just tells him that her family's dead. Because they are. It's never confirmed how their parents died, but it is confirmed how her brother died. Miles somehow gets back home because of Genki. His mom finds out. He tells her that he's Spider-Man and everything that's been going on. Miles is the epitome of Jefferson Davis, a guy who doesn't give up. And Miles is trying to go find Finn, but in the process of this, gets blasted in the sky by Aaron, who's trying to keep his nephew safe from whatever's going on right now. But Miles can't sit still, so he breaks out of prison, battles with Uncle Aaron, convinces him to help them, heads over to a building where Finn is supposedly keeping the new form, relives some childhood memories of him and Finn together for their science project in supposedly 7th grade, tries to take the new form, but as usual, Finn just took the new form again. Miles tries to tell Finn something, but she just does not want to listen. So she leaves. Miles then heads after her. There's a really bad storm outside. Deals with a bunch of Roxxon and underground workers. After that, he heads over to the Roxxon building. He and Finn battle it out at least 3 times before the building just explodes, almost killing Finn in the process, but Spider-Man saves her. He deactivates the new form reactor, but in the process, he's about to kill himself. But Finn Mason saves him, which she took the blast herself. Finn dies. Miles is proclaimed as Spider-Man to the people of New York, who saw his face. They know how young he is. The police and a few reporters show up. A worker tells Spider-Man to get out of there, and they've got it covered. They don't give away his name. They just say he's our Spider-Man. The game doesn't end there. Miles meets this girl named Haley. She was born deaf, so he uses sign language to communicate with her. And then we get the beautiful ending of Peter Parker and Miles Morales in their iconic suits, ready to go fight crime. What a good way to end the game. Well, that's all I have for today. Again, my name is Antrell from AM 1450 KBPS. Thank you for listening to the Student Hour on KBPS, PRP, and KBOO.
If you'd like to support the Student Hour, please consider donating to our program at kbps.am and donating to our sponsors, Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like the Student Hour stay on the air. For more info, go to prp.fm and click on the big red heart, KBOO Community Radio. Support KBOO online at kboo.fm and X-Ray. Support X-Ray online at xray.fm. Thank you for listening.
Hey, it's Ariana from KBPS Radio Broadcasting at Benson High School. Thank you, Schoolhouse Supplies. I really appreciate you because of the material you have given Benson High School. I am using a notebook at school thanks to you. You are helping me at school to do my government work that I need to do and being able to use the markers to underline the important details. I'm thankful for you and the supplies you have given us because we are able to make the banners with markers you have given us. I'm thankful for Schoolhouse Supplies because I have used many equipment in class. They are helping me to get my work in and being able to look for easy access when writing. I appreciate you and everyone who has donated supplies very much.
Thank you, Schoolhouse Supplies. This is Daniel Bergen from KBPS Radio Broadcasting at Benson Polytechnic High School. I'm thankful for you and the supplies you give us because I don't always come to class prepared. So when that happens, I'm grateful to lean on your supplies when I'm not ready. Like if I don't have my notebook, I can use your provided papers to write and keep up with class. Or if I don't have my pencils to write with, it helps me get more work done in less time. So thank you once again.
Hey, it's Fran from KBPS Radio Broadcasting at Benson High School. Thank you so much, Schoolhouse Supplies, for the various supplies you've given us and I think they will be very useful here at KBPS. So thank you so much.
Hi, my name is Jasmine from the KBPS radio broadcasting at Benson High School. Thank you so much, Schoolhouse Supplies. I am using the colored pencils, markers, the crayons to use for coloring paper, and also to just draw in my free time at school. Thanks to you, you are helping me at school to express my creative side when it comes to art. Keep up the good work.
Hey, it's Leslie Ann from KBPS Radio Broadcasting at Benson High School. Thank you, Schoolhouse Supplies. I really appreciate you because some students who are in need and some students who can't really afford school supplies and just the KBPS team, how we are all just one big family, and you sitting here and donating us the things that we need, I am just so thankful because we do projects like making posters and doing other little things, and we may need pencils for classwork or just other little things, and you sitting here donating these things to us, I am just so very grateful.
Hey, it's Travis from KBPS Radio Broadcasting at Benson High School. Thank you, House School Supplies. I appreciate you because you help kids and teachers save money and give us the tools that not everyday student can use, making teachers' jobs easier. So thank you very much for helping us as a community.
Hey, AM 1450, it's Ileana Brown back. I just want to say thank you to the Schoolhouse Supplies. Thank you for providing KBPS classroom with free supplies like paper, pencils, pens, and art supplies and more. It helps students succeed and other students that may not have pencils, papers, scissors, etc. due to like home problems or not getting that much income. So we really appreciate you and thank you for the help and support.
Hi there, I'm Justin Fernander, and thank you, Schoolhouse Supplies, for allowing Mr. Patterson, one of our greatest teachers here at school, to have free access to school supplies. That free school supplies has helped us a ton, so we just want to say thank you.
Hi, my name's Vinny, and I'm a student at KBPS, and I'm an avid user of the Schoolhouse Supplies resources. In the event that I lose a notebook or I need to get a new one, the supplies are there for me and available, and it's just great. It's really awesome, and I hugely appreciate it. Thank you to Schoolhouse Supplies and everyone that donates.
Hi, my name is Alexander Blake Pulsford from KBPS Radio Broadcasting at Benson High School. Thank you so much, Schoolhouse Supplies. I am using your pencil pouch at school, thanks to you. You're helping me to do schoolwork, and it's been a real help and a lifesaver when I forget pencils at school. And I'm very appreciative of you all, and I appreciate everything that you guys do. And I hope you guys have a wonderful day or night. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Oscar from the KBBS Radio Broadcasting at Benson High School. Thank you so much, Schoolhouse Supplies, that I'm using this notebook at school thanks to you. You are helping me at school to do homework assignments and all kinds of writing. I'm thankful for you and the supplies you give us because I get to do homework and a bunch of assignments. I'm thankful for Schoolhouse Supplies because I used pencils and pens in class. They are really helping me to write and do everything I need to do. I appreciate you and everyone who donates supplies very much.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. I've been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down my chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. And I'll wait up for Oh, you dear Santa baby, so hurry down my chimney tonight. Kissed. Next year, I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really, that's not a lot. I've been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down my chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down my chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your ex on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down my chimney tonight. Oh, come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany's. I really do believe in you, so let's see if you believe in me. Santa baby, I forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. And I don't mean on the phone, Santa baby, so hurry down my chimney tonight. Oh, hurry down my chimney tonight. Oh, hurry, Santa, I can hardly wait.
If you'd like to support the Student Hour, please consider donating to our program at kbps.am and donating to our sponsors, Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like the Student Hour stay on the air. For more info, go to prp.fm and click on the big red heart, KBOO Community Radio. Support KBOO online at kbOO.fm and X-Ray. Support X-Ray online at xray.fm. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to the Student Hour, student radio for the city of Portland. The Student Hour is produced by AM 1450 KBPS broadcasting students at Benson High School. On air since 1923, KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Thanks to our supporters, Portland Radio Project 99.1 FM KPRP LP Portland, your nonprofit community radio station online at prp.fm, and KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM and KBOO.fm, and X-Ray KXRY 107.1 FM and 91.1 FM online at xray.fm. And thanks to our listeners like you. This concludes our show for today. Thanks for joining us. Full episodes of the Student Hour are available on our website, kbps.am. That's kbps.am.